has me back.
So why is he
I still go to the conferences. I still go to the
conferences. Well, I remember what I said.
I think you can move it back over there. I'm used to it. Before I begin, I want to give those of you that weren't with me last hour, there is another children's ministry workshop coming up down in Calvary Chapel, sponsored, down in Temecula on February 24th and 25th. There is over 45 workshops and over 1,000 teachers attend. The classes are unbelievable. If you have never been, no, but you can find it out by going to www.calvarycurriculum.com.
Or can we just take a picture of that? You hold it up?
Well, this doesn't even tell you too much. It's called Leading Children to Jesus. Calvary Curriculum. Oh, I'm sorry. February 24th, 25th, that's 2 weeks away. It's not in Temecula, but it's straight down. If any of you have been to Calvary Chapel of Temecula, the conference center, Murrieta Conference Center, it's just the next turn off. But go on calvarycurriculum.com and ask about the Children's Ministry Conference. That's entitled Leading Them to Jesus. 32 workshops on Friday, another 50 on Saturday. It's past early registration time now. I'm sorry, you'll have to pay a little, whatever, $25.
Well,
it's not expensive.
What day is it again?
24th, 25th of February. So if any of you can get down here for that, I know it's a drive down the Temecula area. It's actually a Menifee.
Do you want to go to
that? Let me give you the exact. I'll be teaching there, of course, too. It is in, I have the notes here. Revival Christian Fellowship. It's at Revival Christian Fellowship on Scott Road in Menifee, February 24th, 25th. And just go on calvarycurriculum.com or info@calvarycurriculum.com. You can type in info@. They're also on facebook.com/calvarycurriculum. Sorry, but if you want to know anything about that, for other teachers maybe, you might want to tell other teachers that live down south in that area. So it's down near Murrieta Hot Springs, actually Menifee. I don't know if you know Menifee.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's wine country down there. If you want a beautiful drive, it's well worth going down for. You don't have to stay over Friday night if you can't afford a hotel or you don't have friends that are nearby. I stay with friends.
But it'd be nice to stay over.
Yeah, it really is nice to go into the whole 2 days, Friday and Saturday. So I just want to make that available to you because I know you guys all love children, and if you want to be inspired, oh my gosh, that's such an inspirational time. And with over 1,000 teachers just like you.
Wow.
What is Simply the Story and the God Story Project? How many of you have heard of Simply the Story or the God Story Project? Only one. Okay. I've been teaching for 45 years. I'm a very old lady. I'm at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa from the beginning. In fact, I was there BC before Chuck. Chuck came on the hill, you know, and we called him the hippie caster. But what all those Costa ties going in that Lutheran church? Did you know he was in a Lutheran church for a while, for a year while they tore down Greenville School? Like, you know, they had a history of Calvary Chapel from the beginning of the mother church. We now have his son-in-law, Brian Boderson, and I terribly miss Papa Chuck. I miss Papa Chuck something here. He's been gone 3 years this October, and we miss him terribly. But God goes on, you know, you're not following a man, you're following the first thing he said. But anyway, about 7 years ago, I came across a CD by a lady by the name of Dorothy Miller. Never heard of her before, lived out in Hemet, and she was talking about this God Story Project and about Simply the Story. And the God Story Project is a 90-minute film, okay, and I have them here in case you want to buy them. It's a 90-minute DVD from Genesis to Revelation, 16 stories. The entire one. What she wanted to do at the beginning, a number of years ago tonight, she just simply wanted to have her students go get the whole picture, either her children, and she taught both children and adults. You know how a strand of pearls, each pearl is beautiful, and if you put them all on a necklace, you can see the whole thing? She wanted to do that with the Bible. just like Pastor Chuck, through the Bible, from beginning to end. You know, J. Vernon McGreen, through the Bible lesson. So she asked the Lord, Lord, how do I do this? They're not getting it, and they're not keeping it, what I teach. You can ask them the next week, and they don't remember what we taught last week. By the way, when I started this, my kids download the stories from 4 weeks back, 6 weeks back, and they can tell you the Bible story in complete detail. Why? Because they tell the story. You don't. You get 2 minutes to tell the Bible story, and they do the rest, which I'll show you in a minute. That's the technique of teaching. But the film itself is literally called The God Story Project. So what she did when she went to the Lord, Lord, they're not getting it. God said, keep it simple, Lord. They sound familiar? Keep it this KISS principle. Okay, God, I'll keep it simple. So she got together, and she taught the first 12 verses of Genesis. Just line by line, not reading it. She read it real carefully, and then she taught it. And she says, now someone tell me back what they heard. Come on. And she'd get a volunteer. And they'd stand up and tell back what they heard. And they may not have got it all right. That's okay. That's really good. Now let's all go through it again. Let's start at the beginning. And so she'd say, now where were we? Let's say we're doing the wedding. I'm going to jump to the wedding in Cana. Okay? The Cana wedding. You know, the first miracle of Jesus. Yeah. Now where were we again? We were in Cana of where? And some kids says Galilee. And they were having a birthday party. No, Miss Darling. It was a what? What was it? What was happening? A wedding. Okay, and they had a problem. What was the problem? What? Yeah, and somebody went to somebody else. Who was it?
Mary.
Mary went to who?
Jesus.
Really? She did. And Jesus said, fine, I'll fix that, Mom, right away. Is that what he said?
No.
No, he said, woman, what am I to do with you? My hour's not yet come. He basically says, no, right? Okay, so that's interesting. So you go right through the story. Okay, now how many times have your students heard the story? Once from you, once from someone in the class, and now a third time because everyone's told it. This is simply the story. What's the fourth step? This is where you do not want to go out without, please do not go out with those bookmarks. Because on those little bookmarks, which are I even have them in Spanish, is the next step of simply the story. It is step number one, spiritual observation questions. Oh, let's go through the story again. And you go through it again. Now, Jesus was in Cana of where? Galilee. And there was a
wedding.
And who was there?
Jesus.
And who else?
Mary.
And who else?
The bride.
Who else? You go through every detail of that story. And then you make a spiritual observation. Oh, Mary goes to Jesus and she gets a no. Can you think of a time when you or someone you know ever got a no from Jesus? Have you ever gone to Jesus and it looked like he said no? And then they start discussing spiritual observation questions. Then spiritual application. Can you think of a time when you... Okay, we'll go through that a little bit more. But by the time you've done simply the story technique, and you can learn it here. I'm going to teach it as fast as I can. Normally you have to take a whole training out in Hemet. Dorothy Miller used to say, can anything good come out of Hemet? Dorothy's gone home to be with the Lord 2 years ago. And Andrea is now the director out there. This ministry is worldwide. It is all over the world now. And the God story, they did... What happened with the God story? So when she started teaching this way, what happened was... She started teaching, and her Bible study started to grow like crazy. And her pastor, Chris Banning, Chris Johnson, Calvary Chapel Banning. Here we go. I'm getting a little warm. You don't mind if I take off my jacket. Even though it says STS. I love these jackets and shirts that says, tell me a story. You can use this technique so well in a Starbucks. Not a Starbucks. They're kind of anywhere you are. You can just simply say, you're on a plane. You just say, I'm a storyteller and I'm practicing stories. Do you mind if I tell you a story? It'll only take 2 minutes. Most people say, yeah. And so you tell them Bible. You say, what's a Bible story? Is that okay? Pretty soon you're in a whole conversation. You lead them to Jesus. It's such a cool. So this what happened with God's story was she started telling these stories. She developed 16 stories to get all the way through the Bible. Okay? And she took her class through there. Pretty soon they were really learning the Bible. And they were remembering it. And so Pastor Chris said, Dorothy, we've got an illustrator here from Disney. And he's come to know the Lord. And he's been making Bible pictures. And we got to put some pictures with this, right? Because we all like visuals, right, with kids?
Right.
You know, so he began to draw pictures that he'd already started to draw for his mother to bring his elderly mother to the Lord because he's an artist. So they started putting pictures with this. Then Jeremiah Films came onto it and said, wait a minute. We have the New Testament, the Jesus film. We don't have anything from Genesis to Revelation. Let's put this on film. So he says, you've got to be kidding. I didn't get into this movie-making business. But they went ahead and put it on film. They used one narrator, Dean Jones. You will hear him on here. Dean Jones was set a high standard. The only reason they used one narrator at the time was it was cheaper. And they didn't know what they were doing. She was like, she said she was like a little boy with loaves and fishes, you know, okay, and God exploded it. So then this whole thing began to develop into a huge thing because Jeremiah Films did make the film. It sat around for about 2 years, and then it took off. She was invited by Billy Graham Association to go to Amsterdam 2000. Anybody ever hear of Amsterdam 2000? That's where over, let's see, in over, there were 11 countries my statistics. 11,000 evangelists, pastors, missionaries, and teachers gathered together in Amsterdam from over 203 countries. That's more than the UN, through the VGA Association, and they had many workshops like this. And all she did is she had that film. By that time, the film, because it was a one-voice overlay, was quickly translated into 8 languages. So she shows it in 8 different places of the 8 different languages, and the next morning she got inundated. She said, then she knew what she had. She said she'd never seen so many red, white, black, you know, people. These were evangelists from all over the world. And they said, well, how did you do this? And I want this film. And they were so excited. One missionary lady from the Buddhist group, people group, was so excited that she took it back to her organizational leader. And they looked at the film. And they said, that's fine, but it won't work with Buddhists. Not going to work with Hindus. Unless you live in a Buddhist world and you serve years and loving them, or there's a divine intervention or divine healing, they do not come to Jesus. You know, Jesus is one more of their 1,000 gods, right? He's just another. And she didn't know. I'll tell you later what happened on that one. She didn't really know what she had until she went to a national conference on orality. Anybody hear of orality? Teaching orally. Okay. How did Jesus teach? Did he have books orally, right? To people who couldn't read or write. I'm going to do something here in a minute. I'd like 4 of you volunteers. 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't have to do anything. You 4 ladies, come on up. You don't have to do anything. I just decided to do it.
I don't have a choice. I've been for choices, but I'm in a hurry.
So just stand there, ladies, right there. And I'm going to, now what's your name?
Sylvia,
you are going to represent the non-literate people of the world. You don't read or write. Now, your name is?
Yvette.
You're going to be partially illiterate. That means you can read a little bit. You could maybe read a menu, you can get by, but if I gave her a book, she couldn't read a whole chapter and tell you what it's about. Lots of times, these two people will wear glasses, like they need to read, or they'll wear a newspaper, you know, because they're ashamed, they're shy about the fact that I don't read. Okay, so then you have a very interesting person here, Audrey.
So she
is the preferred oral learner. She reads and writes everything. She's the kind of lady that wants it on her cassette when she's in the car, or she wants an oral Bible, or the blue letter Bible, you know, she wants to hear it orally. How many of you have heard of oral learners? Yeah, that's right. And then, and my son is that way, he never reads his Bible, he listens to it constantly. And then you cannot, are the fully illiterate. You will read and write, and you'd love to do both. You want to hold up your little thing. Now I'd like to see if you out there could guess with me how many are completely non-literate. Start shouting it out. What percentage? Okay,
45.
Let's just not take the
45%.
World. Let's forget the world. Let's just do the West. Just the United States, the West. How many are completely non-literate in the United States?
Probably 35%.
Fancy.
50%. Actually, it's only, these are, by the way, these percentages are according to the National Literacy Adult Standard, which is 8 years of education and a continued access to adult literature. Okay, so that person there, non-literate, is actually only 20%. Completely non-literate here in the West. It might be higher now. That was taken a few years back. You can go online and find it. The partial literate, how many do you think they are? Just guess some numbers.
50%.
35.
26%. You guys go really high. You must be around a lot of people. This one's very interesting. This girl here is very interesting. She likes to learn orally, but she doesn't. And what do you think her percentage is? It's 31%, making a 77% of adults and children either oral learners or preferred oral learners or completely non-literate. 77%. And how did Jesus stop? So what's the problem? Now, this girl can do both. Where do you think we get our curriculums, our political leaders, our changers and movers in the world? Where do they come from? Many times they come from here.
From there.
Yeah. You can all sit down. Thank you. Give my hand. Didn't mean to put you on the spot, but then I did. So what's the problem? What's the problem? The literate take notes. I see you guys with notebooks and pens out there, right? You take notes, you make lists, you deal in concepts, don't we? If we are literate, we deal in concepts, precepts, outlines, we take topical info, we even put it in categories. But do the non-literate, oral learners learn that way? They think completely different, and that's the masses of our society. They use stories, they use pictures, they use parables. How did Jesus teach again?
Parables.
Do you know that when Jesus was here and someone came and offered him a direct question, do you know how many times he directly answered that question? Less than 4%. What did he do? He either asked a question or he told a parable, right? He was always asking questions. Good master, what do I do to get to the kingdom of heaven? What does the law say? That's what he did. He just, how many of you have heard him ask you a question when you ask him a question? He'll ask you that. That's a psychiatrist, really. That's what they do. They just listen.
That's true.
That's true. And so the problem is we learn a different way completely if we're learning orally. All right? How many of you remember last Sunday's sermon? Because it was expositional. But how many? But if the pastor told a story in that sermon or a joke, would you remember that?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a list of words. Now, put away your pens. If you ever take this training, you will not be allowed to take any paper or pens with you. Everything's oral. Now I'm letting you take notes, but you wouldn't be allowed to in an oral teaching. Okay, I'm going to give you a list of words. You can't write them down. I'm going to say them too fast. And I want to see who can say them back. Okay? All right, somebody has to try. Lady, tray, dishes, foot, step, face, blood, daughter, phone, doctor. Who could give me some of those words? So be great. Good.
Lady, tray, dishes, foot, blood.
Good going. Give her a hand. Okay. In the third world, when I work in the third world, they'll sit and look at you. They will not volunteer, but I won't let up because you don't let them go, even if they don't want to tell the story. You just keep looking. Come on, some of you. We'll help you. Don't worry about it. It's not a test here. You insist on them doing it. Now I'm going to give you the same list of words, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Now see how many you can remember. There was a lady carrying a tray of dishes, and her foot slipped on the step, and she flat on her face, and there was blood everywhere, and her daughter phoned the doctor. Now, how many of the words can you remember? Well, some of them. Why? Because they're in a story. Right, in a story. Did God know how we're put together, or is this some type of fluke? Yeah. Did you know the Bible is 75% stories? It's 75% stories, 15% poetry, and 10% exposition. God put his word in stories not only so we can remember them, but we can feel them. We're sensitive to the whole story. We feel bad about the lady falling on the step, you know. You can learn about the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence of God, right? You can learn it intellectually and memorize it, or you can tell the story of Ananias and Sapphira and see all of that in God. You'll see the whole thing. You'll see God in the story. There's just two different ways of transferring that information. But if 10% of the Bible is expositional, and as a whole in Christianity, we have majored in literacy, when we take apart information, we take it to the people who are totally oral communicators or non-literate, and we sit and we teach them expositionally, which we have done, and they sit there and they listen and they go away with nothing, and we say, well, that was hard ground. They didn't learn a thing. They even may raise their hands, and they may even ask questions, but a week later, they're nowhere to be found. They're not following God. Why? Because they don't know why they were raising their hands. They didn't understand the message. Not that expositional teaching is wrong. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's our gold standard for getting accuracy lots of times. But I don't have a verse in my Bible, do you, that says, go ye into all the world and teach literacy. Mm-hmm. Right? No. But go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Literacy is one way we do it. Right? We cook Bible translators. They go down, they spend years translating. You know, they've even gone over to orality. All the major ministries, the Baptists, Campus Crusade for Christ, all of them, the oral Bible, what is that, the blue letter Bible, just orality is sweeping our planet right now. In fact, I don't think I told you how many, today there's over 400 and some languages in over 105 countries of the God story alone. And they're reproducing it so fast they can't keep up with it. And out of that came what we call OBCs. Let me ask you, if you wanted to be a Bible student and you wanted to go to Bible college, what is the one requirement to get in there? You have to be able to read and write, right? Not anymore. There are over 500 oral Bible colleges in China alone right now, started from this program, not just from Simply the Story, but orality is sweeping the world. They are telling the Bible stories accurately and passing them down accurately. And when an oral Bible college might be as small as 25 evangelists, the pastors, or Christian men, maybe in villages, and they learn that first story, and they learn the second story, until they have it down cold, and then they go to their village and they tell it. And what happens is more come back with them. Sometimes their wives come with them, and they're doing the cooking in the kitchen, and they want to come out and do it too. But it is sweeping the world right now. And when they learn all 18 stories, then they're given a little thing called this. This is a marvelous little thing. It is a recorder, and it has the God story from Genesis to Revelation by Dean Jones on this. It can be heard in a room this size. We would probably pack anywhere from 80 to 150 people, and yet they could all hear it. And once they learn the stories, they get to keep this. In fact, they have to learn 66 stories now instead of just 16. I was just with John from Ethiopia just last week in Hemet, and I said, John, how many stories do you have now? About 210, he said. That means at any point he can pull 210 accurately Bible stories out of the Bible and tell them to you accurately, and then ask all the questions, and then the application questions and all. But let me put, I love this little thing. It's solar powered. It can be dropped. It can be stepped on. It can be thrown in a lake. It's guess who made them? Israel. I love it.
Well, it's like the old Hebrew way of teaching.
It's the old Hebrew way of teaching. How do you think we got our Bible? Mm-hmm. How did Moses know about creation? He had to listen to the Lord, first of all, then he had to describe it, and then pass it down orally. And who kept, you know, at first when I heard this method, I thought, wait a minute, I've been in telephone circles. You know, you whisper, and it goes around. It doesn't come back the same. That's because men are doing it. When the Holy Spirit does it, it stays accurate. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Okay? So this is Dean Jones with the God story. This is how the movie opens up, or a lot of them have the visual, they just have this.
The Creator, giver of life.
Can you hear it?
Does he speak? Does he care about us? Can we know him?
Yes.
He spoke. He cares. And his message for all people tells us how to know him. 3,500 years ago, God began instructing men to write down his words. Over the next 1,500 years, God continued to speak, and 40 different men recorded these messages from him. The early writings were called the Law. And the prophets, these, and the rest of God's words recorded on scrolls became known as the scriptures. Today, these same writings, put together in one book, are called the Bible. These holy words tell about God and how much he loves all people in the world. This is God's story.
And then it begins at creation. You got all the sound effects and all the beautiful pictures, and that's what is over here. Now, I wish I could give these to you. They were selling them for $25 to make money for the ministry. Today, they're $15 if you want one. This is the ones in English, and that's the full DVD. And if you just want to put $15 down, you can get one of those. We also have this on CD. They had it at Christmas time. How did Christmas begin? This says, how did Easter begin? Because we have Easter coming up. This is what this is right here on a CD. And that's $2. So what did they tell me? They told me to sell it to you for $2.50 each. I only have one solar power player, just exactly like mine. It's $22.
I want it. You want it?
You can get it from ministry, you know. Simply this, you just go on Simply the Story or the God Story Project, needoneofthose.com. They're out in Hemet, and they'll have another training coming up soon. These are the two brochures on the ministry, so just pick up one that explains what it is, okay? So, and then don't leave without this. I'll give these out free. They cost me a quarter each or something, but it doesn't matter. Just this is what you use to do the actual storytelling. And I'll teach you that in a nutshell, but believe me, it takes a little practice. But once you get it down, like I said, my kids know the story thoroughly. Because by the time you've done it, it's 5 times. So, let me ask this. I think the idea of delivering a story analytically and expositionally is a little bit like taking a butterfly all apart, piece by piece, and then wondering why it doesn't fly. See, when a pastor teaches expositionally, not that that's wrong. Please don't hear me, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But he goes over here to this application, over there, and he's going to tell you his application, right? Mm-hmm. It's not your application. But what happens? How many of you have ever got an aha moment when you're studying about? You got an aha. God taught you something that morning. How many of you ever had that? You're excited, right? When you get a really aha. And so you run and tell a friend. Is the friend more excited or you?
No.
You are, because it's yours.
Yeah.
That's what this does for your kids. Your kids come up with their own application. When I was telling the Cana story, was it the Cana story that Jose... Yeah, and I got to the Mary part where she goes to Jesus and Jesus says no. And then she says, Mary says, she turns to the servants. You know, I say there's 6 stone water pots there, you know, filled with 30 or 40 gallons each. She turns to the servants after he says, Mom, he didn't say Mom, he says Mother, what do I, you know, my time is not yet come. She says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. That's what she said. And I said, if Mary was here today, what would she say? What would she say? Do you know that was the last words that Mary spoke in the Bible, boys and girls? See, observation. Question. What would she say if she was here? So Miguel over there says, well, she'd probably say whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. And the little kid in the back, Holy Spirit, right at him, he said, Miss Darlene, does that mean I don't have to pray to Mary anymore? Catholic school. I teach in an after-school program where we get the kids for a whole 2.5 hours. I love it. In an inner city in Santa Ana. That kind of thing started happening. And after they learn the story, they take it home. My homework assignment for them is go tell the story to anybody. Anybody you want, another friend, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, anybody, before you go to sleep tonight, go tell the story. And I have them now telling the story all over campus. We start with 9 kids, and now we have 100 and some. So they come to the after-school Bible club that we do, Goodness Club on campus, on public school campus, no less. God just opens the door. So this little guy over here says, I told my story to Grandpa. I said, you did, Juan. What did he say? I don't know, Miss Darling. I had to tell him in Spanish. Is that okay? I said, sure, that's okay. But what happened with Grandpa? I don't know. Well, what did he say? He didn't say anything. He was just crying. He wants me to see if I can get a Spanish Bible. Can I get a Spanish Bible for my dad? You betcha, one. I never had that kind of result, ever, ever. I say to them, what was the story we told last week? And we go through it. And they know it. And they know the application. Did you learn anything? When I was returned, no, do not return evil for evil. Do not return evil for evil, but give a blessing instead. And I said, who tried that this week when they told the story? Did you do something good when somebody did something bad? Because that was their homework assignment. I said, just try that this week when you tell the story. What happens on all school campuses with kids? When they get done something bad to them, what are they going to do?
Retaliate,
right? Or tattletale, right? I said, try Jesus' way. Do something good. So next week, I have all these kids that tried it. And Guillermo raises his hand. Miss Darlene, there was a bully, and he's been bullying me for 2 years. I said, really? What'd you do, Guillermo? I found out he liked jelly bellies. You did? What did you do? Well, I saw him coming down the hall, and I ran, and I gave him the jelly bellies. What happened? He doesn't bother me anymore. He's nice to me. What? Miss Darlene, says two little sisters over here. Sisters fight all the time, right? They were fighting, blimmering over something, and one of them remembers she was supposed to do something good. So she stopped. She says, okay, Jesus. She ran into her room, got her Hello Kitty thing that her sister wanted, came back and gave it to her sister right in the middle of the argument. I said, what happened? We remember we're trying to outgood each other all the time. What is it? That's Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's not, if I tried to tell them to do that, it wouldn't work. It's amazing when you speak a story to them and you present the whole story to them, how they will retain it when it's done by them, not by you. Would you rather have a joke told to you or read it?
Tell it.
Tell it, right. By telling it, it has life, right? We are kind of flatline. We believe that the success of God's story is partially because of the chronological presentation. When they told it to the Buddhists and the Hindus, Dorothy didn't know it would work out there. Guess what happened? They said, turn this up, turn it up. In the beginning, God creator, creator God, Jesus comes on the scene on the movie. He is the great I am, the creator God. And they said, wait a minute, you never told us that your God was creator God. We know about him. I mean, he's the creator. We got the we've imported to the missionary field Romans Road and the Jesus film and the whole New Testament. We got the tale instead of the beginning. One of our missionaries that teaches in the Burns World, we completely got it upside down. So in Asia, in 5 countries, on one trip that Dorothy made over there, we saw 40 church plants in one people group. How'd that happen? Well, that happens when the people have the Word of God and they understand it. See, largely what people were doing was taking what we had in the West, the New Testament, the Roman road, the four spiritual laws, the Jesus film, all of those are from the New Testament. And you talk to Buddhists and they say, yes, we have Jesus, he's one of our many, many gods, we'll take him too. But when they realize who Jesus was, the great I am, the whole story, that's what, it's the essence of Chuck Smith, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, simply tell the Word of God simply from beginning to end. Tell it in a chronological order. The value of this chronological teaching, that's what New Missions does, by the way, and that's a model that the Calvary Chapel follows, as you know, and the piece of the puzzle that made Calvary so successful was this chronological teaching through the whole Bible, and it's done so simply on just one DVD. And then they have to do even more, 66 stories. When they learn all 66 stories, then they graduate. They're an official oral Bible graduate, and they go out and bring others and tell the stories over and over again. They just spread like wildfire.
Well, isn't this CDs, is that... Because I did a show with him like 10 years ago for Camp Pendleton with Chuck. Huh? And it was like 10 or 20 years ago. But didn't we have him on CDs and it said the God story on it? Different. But I don't think it's the whole thing.
No.
That's different.
No.
And then you had the...
This is called the God Story Project, and it's the whole film done by Dean Jones. I don't know if you had another one. But as you know, Chuck took about 2.5 to 3 years to take us through the Bible. I've been there from the beginning. He took us through 8 times before.
They had like a fireman thing on there, too,
yes.
And they had light. It's
the
called
same
the light or something.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot, but not
but
quite
it
like
wasn't this. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't this. So as long as we do topical-type information, we start here and we turn over there, and I say that I had this type of experience... What you're doing is you're creating those children. What you're doing is you're creating people who have been spoon-fed, because for you to have personally feed them every single week, right? You're feeding them yourself every single week, because they don't know how you found those verses. They don't know how you got that information. It's a bunch of pieces to them. You follow me? And so what you got is you need to put together rather one complete Bible story that they can take home. So what we have is a bird in the nest that needs feeding, right? That's what we have when we do it ourselves. And pretty soon you have 50-year-old birds. Mm-hmm. A lot of people depend on getting their Bible from going to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. They don't get the whole story and live it themselves. They just don't. So what you do, you need to empower these children to feed themselves and teach them that they have the same sword that Jesus used to get Satan, right? And if they're born again and they have the same Holy Spirit that we have, they have a resident teacher right within them, and he will come and guide them into all truth. That resident holy teacher taught that boy he didn't have to pray to Mary. It wasn't me. It's they get the application. They live a resident teacher in the Word of God, and people don't even know that they have him. And sometimes we make them dependent. You follow me? We make them dependent upon us. Okay, so this is the situation now. We have 7,000 languages in the world. Did you know that? 7,000 different languages. 2,000 have some portion of the Word of God. 1,200 have the New Testament translated. 400 have the whole Bible. And even those who can read may not have the scriptures available to them. Have any of you heard of the conference Finishing the Task, which occurs down at a church here in Southern California, and that is after the last of the languages of the world. And they're down. They think that within 5 to 7 years, with the technology we have today, we are going to have every people group have the Word of God.
5 to 10?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Within 5 to 10 years.
Close to the end.
We're very close to the end, folks. Every nation has the Word. Every nation in the world has the Word, not every people group.
Not unreached
people groups.
Wow.
But it's coming. It's coming really fast, and so is Jesus. We know that. But if you want to know a lot about that prophecy, Pastor Ray Bentley, how many of you have heard of him? Maranatha Chapel down in San Diego just had a conference called Convergence. If you did not get to that conference, go online to Calvary Chapel, Maranatha Chapel, San Diego. Maranatha Chapel, San Diego, and listen to a Dr. Robert Myra. I've never heard of him before. He's out of Rhodesia. And he's amazing. He's
Robert what?
M-A. Think of Ma, like you're going to call Ma, and a wire. Think of your mother calling a wire.
Oh.
M-A-W-I-R-E, Dr. Robert Myra.
Thanks.
He's out of Rhodesia. He's a phenomenal prophet. He knew about Trump. He's been hearing from the Lord since he was a child. And he has gone to Benjamin Netanyahu. He has gone to Ariel Sharon and told Sharon that if he divided the land, he would be struck by God. He knew Trump a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. That was going to be the... He just has got the word. He's got the word of knowledge. He said, I'm not going to call him 100% prophet, but he hasn't missed yet.
But he's a prophet.
But Anne Graham Lotz was down there, and I respect Anne Graham, Billy Graham's daughter. And she came out on the stage after listening to Robert, and she said, "You need to pray for me because I don't know. My head is spinning. Mm-hmm. My spirit is bearing witness with what I heard from Robert Murray." He's got a book called America's Manifest Destiny, if you want to read. But he's an amazing person. And what he sees now is the USA in prophecy. He knows where the USA is in times. And he began to teach that, and it just blew us off the platform. And I would have never believed it had I not seen his accreditations. I trust Ann Graham Lotz. I trust Pastor Ray Bentley. And when they have known him, for, you know, Ray Bentley has known him for 7 years, and a number of other, Tom Doyle, who's a Middle Eastern, you know, they're all speakers down there. Okay, so let me get back to SDS. What we found is that when people get in all 18 stories down and could tell them, they want more. And they want 66, and then 100, and they want like John. John's a trainer. And we have trainers now. Now, how did this ministry explode all over the world? It's run in a trailer by volunteers in Hemet. And it's all over the world.
In Hemet.
Now, how'd that happen? Because missionaries have gotten onto this, and they've taken it back to their people who've taken it to their people. And it's missionaries in connection with Simply the Story that has spread so fast. And when I try it with my kids, like I said, I can tell my kids what was the story we had last week. I may have to start them off, but they'll tell me the whole story and the application, because this is the way you do it. Now I'm going to show you how you do it.
Yeah, we need to
know. All right, you get your Bible open, and you're going to tell the story of, let's say, Cana. We'll do Cana of Galilee. But you can only do about 12 to 15 verses of it. No telling the whole story of Jonah from beginning to end. That's way too long. Okay, take a key part of it and read it, open your Bible, and read it out loud. While you're walking, when I was at UCLA. Did you know that when you walk and read out loud, you retain 10 times faster in your brain? We did tests where they had to hold totally still and memorize a list of words and not move anything. Then they gave you a different list of words and you could move all you want in your desk. And then they finally put you on the track when you were walking and you 90% retention with walking and talking out loud.
So you say you learn it faster or you retain it
both.
So that's why when you get on the treadmill and you're learning your skit, you learn it.
You learn anything faster if you will read out loud and hear your own voice. And, you know, we've had people that sit over the corner and they're reading a story and they're just reading away. And we said, we said out loud. Oh, I didn't really think. You need to do it out loud and you need to move.
I've heard
okay,
it out
loud. So now you open your Bible. Read your story out loud. Close your Bible. Tell the story. Now you've missed some parts. Open your Bible. Read it out loud. Close your Bible. Tell it out loud to yourself. Tell what you read. You don't have to memorize it. Just tell it. Oh, yeah, I forgot that part where there were 6 stone water pots that he had there. And they were all filled to the brim, you know, and what Jesus said. So you open your Bible, read it out loud, tell it out loud. Do that 5 or 6 times until you think you really have the story. You may have to do it for a couple, 3 days, getting ready for Sunday, right? You're getting ready to teach Sunday or your release time or whatever. You've got that Bible story pretty well down, okay? You got it? So you read it out loud. This is all preparation. All right. Next thing that you're going to learn to do is begin to ask questions of that. And you're going to develop questions, but you're going to, let me tell you, tell the story. You're going to tell the story, okay? Now, we all have hand signs that help us remember this. So I want you to cooperate with me. Do this. Tell the story.
Tell the story.
Ask for a volunteer.
Ask for a volunteer.
So you're going to tell the story to your husband or somebody in your house, and they're going to be the volunteer and tell it back to you. Okay, if you really want to practice the classroom, you don't have to do that, but that's what you're going to do in the classroom. You're going to tell the story. That takes all of about 2 minutes. If you're doing just 12 to 14 verses or 17 verses, it's going to, you're only talking 2 minutes. After that, you've got to shut up, except for asking questions. See, that's what I love about this, because I'm a teacher. Talk. Mm-hmm. Do they talk at all?
No.
You want them to all be silent and listen. How much? Have you figured out how much they've learned?
No.
Because you've talked. Mm-hmm. Let them talk. Let them figure it out. So you tell the story. Ask for a volunteer. A volunteer stands up and you say, well, there was this wedding in some place and they ran out of wine and Mary asked for some. And I guess Jesus turned some water into wine. And that's all they do. Some kid. Actually, my kids will get it down to detail now. They're unbelievable. And I say, don't worry, you don't have to tell the whole story by yourself. We'll help you if you get stuck. So someone tells a story. Third thing, the whole class tells a story. We call this a pull-through. Okay, so go with me. Tell the story.
Ask for a volunteer.
Do a pull-through. What's a pull-through? How many of you have heard of inductive Bible study where you're asking questions of the text?
Yes.
That's just simply asking for the facts. Now, where were we? We were in Cana of Galilee, and there was a
wedding.
So you're asking fill in blanks. You can do one real way out you know, like it was a birthday party. No, no, don't do too many of those, because you do want them to learn the real story, not that it was a birthday party, right? So you go through the whole story asking factual questions and having them fill it in. And who was there? Right, Mary. And who else was there? Besides Jesus and Mary, who else was there? The disciples, who else was there?
Dancers.
In fact, when you really learn these stories in detail, you'll find out, like I always thought the whole 12 disciples were in the, that they were, he'd only chosen five at that point. So not all 12 were there. Okay, so when you read it very carefully, and I'm going to show you a little, if I have time. What time does this have? 12:30?
Thank you, Shelby.
12:30.
Yeah.
So then you tell the story, ask for a volunteer, do a pull through. Now you go to the beginning of the story and go all the way through. Now they've all heard the story how many times?
Three.
Now you're going to go back to the beginning of the story again, and you're going to make observation questions. That's what that bookmark's all about. Step number one of observation questions. It says things like this. Did anything happen spiritually or historically before the Bible passage that could help me better understand the story's contents? Well, I had to read in front of the Cana, but then I found out there was only five disciples there, and I found out some where they had been right before they were invited to that. So you and then you can start your story. I'm going to tell the story of Cana in Galilee, but you're going to, before you start it, you can give them a little intro if you want, some background. They may not know what Pharisee means, if the word Pharisee is in the story. You follow what I'm saying? So you ask yourself when you're preparing, is there anything that I need to know before this happened? What situation in this story is causing tension or needs a solution? These are spiritual observation type questions. Said and did. In each section of that Bible passage, observe what was said and done that could give spiritual information about the people. What did you learn about Jesus in that story? What do we see in Jesus in that story? What about Mary? Did Mary have a choice? When she went to Jesus for the wine to solve the problem, did she have a choice? Could she have done something else?
No.
Oh, think about it. What else could she have done? Besides going to Jesus?
No.
You know what I would have done? I would have taken the servants and gone down to the village, got some more wine, brought it back. I'm a take charge person. What other things? You talk about choices that they made, choices that they didn't make, choices they could have made. Each part of the story, you see choices made, even by God. Did Jesus make a choice in that story?
Yes. Yeah.
Could he have said something else besides what he said?
Yes.
What else could he have said?
No.
Yes, Mom.
Yes, Mom, I'll do it right away. No, he didn't. And yet, did he solve the problem? See, you're asking them questions. Mm-hmm. And you're going from the beginning all the way through, and you're making spiritual observation questions. So let's do the signs again. Tell the story. Make spiritual observation questions. Ask tools. Learn to ask questions like Jesus did. Ask spiritual observation. But then you're going to go through the whole thing again, and you're going to go back to that observation. Wow. When Mary went to Jesus, he said, can you think of a time when you or someone else, you know, sometimes I even say you, where Jesus said no to you? And then, where was that time? And they'll start telling you about that time, which reminds this kid over here about another time. And pretty soon they're all raising their hand, the cry of the American child. I have kids now that they're dying to be the storyteller. You know, I have to work against the niece, because the niece is always going to have her hands full to tell that story. And so I want some of the others to... So you have to be careful about that. Once they get on to this, choices, results, and impact. What were the results you see from the choice made? What was the result when Mary got stonewalled? What did she do? She went, oh, well, I'll just go buy some wine myself. Is that what she did? What did she do? Could she have done something else? You keep going through all the different possibilities and discussing that story. Spiritual, then spiritual applications as you get to each part, okay? So, yeah, we can make sure everybody gets one of those when they go out. And I have some in Spanish, too. Those are free. Okay, have I covered? No, I haven't covered. Well, I lose my points in my notes.
They're
going to hurt him. Okay, the reality check then happened when really the reality check of this whole thing happened when Dorothy actually decided to take 8 leaders from the world when she had been at Amsterdam 2000. So she said, okay, she took 8 evangelists that already had been trained to do expositional teaching. You know, so many of them are. Mm-hmm. And she said, call me on my cell phone and tell me one simple story. Just the story. Okay? And so she got a huge phone bill that month, she said. And she had to choose ones from Ethiopia that could speak English and from Timbuktu to speak, you know, and they all called her. And she's listening to the recordings, and guess what? All 8 of them flunked. they went over here in the Bible and over there, and an application here, put their own application in. They just did their thing. And so she said, "Oh my gosh, I gotta figure out a way to retrain these guys and girls, and you know, to do it just simple. So you gotta retrain the way you do it. You can't make applications. You're gonna get an application as you study this story carefully. But you're going to pass that to the child to find his application. He may find the same one you do. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story right now, okay? And it has a whole person that really quick. There was a path. This is called the path. Now, this is not a Bible story. This is illustrated. Boys and girls, there was a villagers, a very poor village. And one of the villagers always wanted to make lots of money and get out of the village. And one day, he was able to get out of the village. And he went far, far away. And he was gone for about 5 years. And guess what? He did make a lot of money. But he wasn't selfish. He wasn't unkind. He wanted to come back and bless his fellow villagers. So he came back to the village. They had heard about all this money he had made. And they wanted to be his friends. Everybody wanted to be his friend. But he had an idea. "I want to bless them." He said, "I'll be back tomorrow. All right?" So he goes away for a day, and then he comes back the next day, and all his friends gather. He says, "Now, I want to bless you." He says, "You know that path down to the river? It's called the path. The one where we go to fill our jugs up for the village?" Oh, yes, they knew that. "I have left all kinds of wonderful gifts along that path for you. They are free for the taking. There's plenty of them. Mucho, 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 mucho. Just go and help yourself." Well, the first group of villagers took off, and they got to the edge of the path, and oh my gosh, look, and they scooped down, and they got some dirt in their hand, and it looked like glittering, looked like gold maybe, and they thought, "Wow, maybe the path is what's got really all that. Let's take this back to the village and analyze it." And they never went down the path at all. They went back, and they're analyzing that gold that's in that dirt. Now, the second group of villagers that arrived at the path, they were so excited, they ran down that path, they're jumping over the logs and coming all the way, and they get all the way over here to the river. "We didn't find anything. He was lying to us. I never got one thing. He didn't, honestly, well, I'm not going to believe him anymore." But the third group of villagers, boys and girls, they got to the path. They were last because they were slow. But as they slowly went down the path, "Oh, look, look, you remember that log that was crossed there? Look, he's cut it back so we don't have to climb over it. Remember how hard it was to climb over with our pots with the water? Look, we can just walk right through. Yeah, look over here, the thorn bushes have been cut back. Wow, maybe the path itself is a gift." "No, no," says a third villager. "There's cooking pots over here, and bags of rice, and machete," all kinds of things as they went slowly down the path. They found so much wealth. Now, every Bible story is a path. The Bible is a whole bunch of wonderful paths. And if we just analyze it to death, they're still analyzing it back there in the village. Not that that's wrong to learn what omniscience, omnipresence, and you know, in detail. That's not wrong to learn the Greek and the Hebrew, but they didn't get too much as far as the real path. But the second group, they just rush through. You know, "I'm going to get through my Bible in a year. I'm going to read 8 chapters a month. I'm going to get through my Bible in a year." And there's nothing wrong with that. You will get through your Bible. But if you go slowly down the path, and you read it again, and again, and again, and you ask questions of it, you will find what I like Anne Graham says. You're either going to find the fine gold dust, but you might even find gold nuggets. Mm-hmm. And if you really ask the Lord, you're going to see deep veins of gold that'll never leave you. And you'll be so thrilled with them that you'll be able to teach it through simply the story and not give it to them. They'll find it. Because you ask yourself those questions. And the Holy Spirit's the best teacher of all. And is there any end to the depth of Scripture? No. So go out and get them. Every Bible story is a path. And my last comment before I leave, because I'm doing both this and Love and Logic. This was a tool God put in my pocket 8 years ago, and I will never teach it. You know what? I really got excited about this. I love funnel board. I love visuals. I love all those hands-on stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you travel to a foreign country, you're only allowed 50 pounds on an airport now to take over there. And all of a sudden, I realized, I can go and just take my Bible. And I've been so thrilled to go out on the mission field now. In fact, I think God's calling me back to Malawi, Africa. And I'm going, "Oh, really?" It's the toughest, the most deprived country in the world. It's the poorest country in the world. Malawi, Africa. Pray for the Malawians. Really? People going into Malawi. It's a landlocked, little tiny country about the size of Israel in Africa. And it's got AIDS. AIDS is running wild all over Africa. But my spiritual parents went there for a year sabbatical, and 26 years later, they're still there. So they're begging us to come back again, and now we have two of the missionaries that are in Malawi up the north, and Midland, Dick and Charlotte are down here. So I'd appreciate prayer for that. It looks like I'm going in July, which is their winter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Very cold.
I have friends that have been over there a month.
Yeah, and Malawi's gotten to be on the map lately because it is, because it's doing a major change. It's almost like an example for Africa. AIDS has made a turn.
Were you going to show a portion of that video?
You can take it with you. Oh, no, they're going to show you another video. Sally decided she was going to show that, but then I also came across at Calvary Chapel Christian Educators big conference that we had at Big Calvary about a month ago. I was walking across the patio. I was there to man the STS table. But I was walking across the patio and I hear this pastor speaking, you know, keynote speaker inside. His name is Brad Huddleston. The title of his talk was Digital Cocaine. Yeah. And what digital, what screens wow. and apps and all this stuff here is doing to us, mental. It is scientific. And he himself got caught on it. And just to give you an idea, South Korea is about 10 years ahead of us on technology. We're catching up very rapidly, wow. but they have over 300 digital rehab centers in that country. There's over 400 in South Korea. China has over 400 digital rehab. This stuff is addictive. Mm-hmm. You can't prove it, just try to leave it home.
Oh my God!
Just try not to do it. It's actually physically addicting to your brain.
Well, I know I can't get on Facebook.
Well, some of you know already how addictive it is. And he will not only tell you all the scientific facts, he's a wonderful pastor. He worked for Focus on the Family for a number of years, and that's where he got caught. There's nothing wrong with working on the Focus on the Family, except he had four screens in front of him, mm-hmm. and he's working all the time with the screens, and his wife would call him, "You gotta come home, Brad?" He says, "Yeah, in about an hour, I'll be home." 2 hours later, 3 hours later, 4 hours, 5 hours, he's still. He got himself hooked. Now, he's not against technology. Don't get that wrong. But do not miss that film. It'll scare you to death, but it'll also make you very wise. No lie. The
I drink myself. I realize I do.
No, I saw that film that night. No, actually, I saw him speak. I went out and bought five of those DVDs. I bet that's that I gave Sally today. And we've already shown it in a number of different places. But that morning, I walk the beach every morning. I walk and talk in prayer with the Lord, and I took this out of my pocket, and I said, "Lord, I'm getting rid of it. I am addicted to this thing. I'm throwing it in the ocean. No lie." I was so convicted by the amount of addiction I have there that I was going to throw it in the ocean. And I said, "Nope." The Holy Spirit said, "No. Learn to control it."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am learning to control it. I actually can leave it in the car now. In fact, it's so funny. It goes out so often on me. I lose it. The other day I was convinced someone not to use it. You know, I was telling a friend of mine, "You know, Pam, you can do without that." "No, I can't." "Yes, you can." You know, we got in a big argument over it. And the next day, guess what? I cannot find this thing. You had me go a whole days without this.
Yeah.
I was trying my hands just to instead of tell somebody else to do it, you do it. That's the way the Spirit works. So
kids sleep with it.
We're right at 12:30.
Kids sleep with it.
So I wish I could have told a story to show you how to do it, but
our show is clearing.
It's 12:30.
We don't need lunch.
I would have done a whole story for you, but it takes 15 or 20 minutes. But you got all the time. Let's go through it one more time. Tell the story. That's for the last year. Do a poem. Spiritual observation. Spiritual application. I've gone through it five times. By the time you're finished with your group, they've heard that story five times, all from them.
Are you going to teach it with the next class?
I'm going to teach Love and Logic after lunch.
Thank you.
It's not going to be this one.
Because I wanted to kind of see what you're saying.
Okay.
Are they going to show that on the tape, what you're just saying?
No, that is going to be on digital cocaine. That's a whole different thing.
Okay, but your story is that, like, I always pull kids into the story to act it out. Do you do that?
No, I just ask questions. And they answer questions.
Okay.
And they get into the discussion.
Oh, yes.
So the whatever you want. Yeah, there's lots of DVDs there.
Yes.
You got the English. There's some Spanish ones there, too.
Yeah, so
Spanish.
We got English and Spanish.
Okay, great. Great, great, great.
Good, good, good.
I have to tell you, this is amazing. I have a lady, she lived in China for 50 years and moved away about 50 years ago. I have a lady,